Now, I have to say, books will come and go, and various books obviously come our way, as you can appreciate. And particularly now, as we're into this season of book publishing. Well, a book came across my lap the other day from Hatchet Ireland called A Cloud Where the Birds Rise. The cover immediately grabbed my attention. And then I suddenly realised, because it was a gorgeous picture, I suddenly realised that Michael Harding's name was attached to it. And I said, well, on the basis that Michael Harding's name is attached to this, I'm going to make sure and read this. It's a beautiful book. It's Michael Harding and illustrations by Jacob Stack. Michael, good morning. I'm blown away by this book.
Good morning, Marty. It's lovely to be with you.
And you, my friend. Are you between Roscommon and everywhere, Leitrim and everywhere else as we speak, or where are you?
Well, do you know where I'm in Donegal as we speak.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I'm up here writing. I have a little kind of way of coming up here to be on my own.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm in the middle of the next book, but I'm delighted to see this book out as well. Yeah,
it is a beautiful thing. I mean, we have chatted many times over the years, and as you know, I'm an avid reader of your books, and I love your. Yes, and incidentally, I've missed you in the Irish Times.
Yeah, I've had a little. You know, I was in hospital twice in the past 12 months.
Yes, I know.
In Beaumont for serious stuff. So. I took a break from it, and I hope to be back in it soon, but I'll not say when.
No, I understand, but it's funny, isn't it? Because I see yourself and Roisin Ingle, and then I don't see you. And
yeah.
I'd be thinking, where's he gone now? What's happening at all? But we know you're
still... Well, I'm still writing.
You are.
Yeah.
And in your idyll where you are, can you describe it, where you are right now? What's it like?
It's very wet and windy, but it's beautiful mountains around me in Donegal.
Yeah, but you're no stranger to wet and windy. That wouldn't worry you.
No.
That wouldn't worry you. Listen, the idea of this book, the concept, A Cloud Where the Birds Rise.
Yeah.
It's I say a book about love and belonging. It's like beautiful words. Do you know, how did you meet up? Tell me about yourself and Jacob Stack. Is there a link there that we need to know?
We never met.
Never.
Never. And I can say, like, this is the first book of mine that I can actually praise and promote and say it is a beautiful book.
Yes, yeah.
It's a lovely book to touch and feel. It's a lovely weight to it. It opens and closes very easy. And there's gorgeous images in it. They're just beautiful drawings. And the way it came about, I never met Jacob, but I think he's a fantastic artist. And I think that he has opened a window into the kind of stories and reflections that I do in a way that makes them totally new and totally fresh.
Yeah.
The way it happened was that Hachette suggested after six books, because we have done six books of memoir, that maybe it would be a really interesting time to put together a sort of a synopsis of them all that would give a reader a kind of an overview.
Right.
And so it was essentially Hachette, the publisher, and Ciara Dooley, the editor, who then went to an artist, Jacob Stack, and said, would you do this with, you know, we'll select the writings and you look at them and make images for them.
Sure.
And so the whole process happened in a way before I saw anything. So what I saw was like finding out what other people think of me. Do you know the way you're at a dinner table and you say something and you're blathering on for a long time and then somebody says, oh, that's a really interesting thing you said.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what you said.
That's very true, because it's the stream of consciousness.
So that book was like this. Yeah. It was like, this is what we really hear you saying in a synopsis over, like, 10 years doing six books. What's the kind of thread that runs through them all? And what surprised me was the consistency of the idea of love. The idea of love in other people that really thrills me, just to be with people. And secondly, more interesting maybe, the idea of love when you're alone. That in solitude, there is a kind of sense of serenity that can come on you, that you can feel quite happy and content in your solitude, in your aloneness. And those were the two single things that kind of went through it. And I suppose that's where we got the kind of idea, love and belonging.
But you have always had this in your writing about yourself and the beloved, the idea of being alone and needing space.
Yeah, I have.
But it was probably always important to you anyway when we think about your background and spirituality and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And like one of the most famous books, one of the most, you know, beloved books to me was the famous book, The Cloud of Unknowing. Mm. And The Cloud of Unknowing was this 14th century book which talks about the fact that, you know, you'll never find God in naming God. You'll only find God in your own experience, that when you contemplate just being alive in your own body, in your own awareness, you will experience a great mystery of presence inside you. And that's the cloud of unknowing, because you can't ever know what's in the cloud. And that was where I got the title, the sense that, you know, the skylark, I always... Where we live in Leitrim, Roscommon border, Arigna, there's an awful lot of skylarks come out of the bog in a summer's day. And it's beautiful when you're walking, because the little skylarks, I think they get frayed because they're trying to distract you from where the nest is. But to go way up in the sky, and you can watch them going up, 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 almost into the clouds, and then doing this beautiful song. And that sense of, you know, some great, beautiful, unknowing cloud where you are alone. That to me is mystical, but it's also available to every human being, whether you're driving a car in a city or sitting in a restaurant.
Yeah, but but by the same token, you have to take time out to be aware. You have to take time out and watch.
I think 5 minutes a day is enough. If people did 5 minutes a day of just that, taking time out and being present to yourself or being mindful, it begins to leak into the rest of your life. So you're driving the car or you're sitting in a restaurant, and sometimes you feel, and I'll use the phrase, beautifully alone.
Yes.
That is what you tap into. You feel yourself beautifully alone, and you're watching other people, and you can see their way they're angry or suffering or unhappy, or maybe you can see how happy they are in a restaurant or walking the street. But you're aware that you're a miracle. You're a walking miracle because you're alive and you're present. And that is to be in the cloud, you know.
Well, you talk about there's a great packet. And the other thing, by the way, about the book is it doesn't have any numbered pages. I don't know if you've noticed that.
But you know something? I never noticed that.
There's no numbers on the pages.
But well, that's
anyway,
lovely.
Yeah, I'm like, but
so
it's like
a note. It's kind of like a notebook,
yes,
I suppose.
Yes, exactly. But it's clearly on purpose.
Yeah, and the kind of font they use is like as if it was handwritten.
Yes, exactly.
Did that work for you?
It worked for me. I was
worried about that now,
to be honest with you. But I loved it. I love it. There's a piece in it where you say, I didn't say anything because... And these are just pieces from your head. I didn't say anything because there is a grief that words cannot soften and a pain that no story can cure.
Yeah.
Saying nothing sometimes we're back to silence, is sometimes better.
Yeah,
babble.
Yeah. And there's another line in it where it says, you know, we talked about everything by talking about nothing.
You see, there you go.
It's the silence between the words. It's sometimes two people meet and they'll be trying to make up a row of 20 years and all they'll talk about is, you know, the weather.
Yes, I know. Because it's easier.
Yeah.
And listen, how are you and yourself these days? Physically and every other way.
I'm really good, to be honest with you, Marty. I had another unfortunate bang.
Oh.
And I've had them every 2 years now for a while. But
yeah.
I was back in Beaumont for two sessions. I was in it for a good bit of March this year. Did an operation to fix arteries. And again, you know, they did a miracle job. They did a service of neurosurgery that if that wasn't available to me, I wouldn't be able to survive.
Right.
And that is the wonder of medicine, and that's the wonder of what they do in places like Beaumont. I walk around and I'm so grateful because I'm in really good health now.
You are?
Yeah. Although I'll be recovering for another couple of months. Do you know the way you'd be kind of... You'd be battered by an hour time in hospital.
I know. And it can... Well, I mean, people talk about being in hospital, particularly if they're in for any length of time, getting them down.
Yeah.
And you're a man who's had to deal with that too over the years.
Yeah.
But you get yourself out of it, thank God.
Well, to be honest with you, Marty, like, to be really sincerely honest now, the past 5 years has allowed me to use some kind of prayer in my life as a complete foundation. You know, I realised I can't survive anything without some prayerful attention. And I use Buddhism, I use Christianity. I don't have a kind of a clenched fist notion about religion like in the old days.
No.
But I definitely use it in my imagination and in my heart. I'm even podcasting about it. I have a podcast.
You are.
Yeah, it goes out every week.
You were on
and
about...
And I'm really doing old spiritual stuff on it.
Yeah, well, spiritual is one thing. You were going on about Dracula. What? Tell
I
us
like
about
Dracula
your relationship
when
with
I was
Dracula.
Young. Yeah. I don't know. I must have been very twisted young for it, but I used to love Dracula in the Magnet Cinema in Cavan.
Yeah.
And I remember when it was 4 pennies to get into the stalls in the Magnet Cinema in Cavan.
Yeah.
And you'd go in there every so often, there'd be a Dracula film, and usually Christopher Plummer.
That's right.
He's the one that I remember. Yeah. And I always remember that the screen used to open with velvet curtains opening. That Hammer, and then Hammer Horror, the words would come up like a shake.
And Peter Cushing would be there. He'd
Hammer
be in it as well,
horror.
Wouldn't he? Peter
and everybody,
Cushing.
Yeah. Everybody would squeal.
That's
in
right.
The... Who did you say? Peter
Cushing.
Absolutely. He was a huge man in it.
Yeah, he'd have the steak or something. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. I used to love it. I don't know why. I think it kind of was... Even at that time, Dracula was some metaphor for sadness or for something dark. Because I used it afterwards when I was suffering depression. I used to say it was really like Dracula was just possessing my whole body.
Yeah.
You know, sucking the energy out of me. And then when I started to heal from depression about 5 years ago, people had said, you know, did you get depressed? I used to say, Dracula, he's not in the room anymore, but he does be looking in the window sometimes.
Trick is not to let him in.
Absolutely.
And you also mentioned, you were also on about Wuthering Heights as well, which is...
I used to love that. I don't know why. Again, I think for the same reason that the kind of love in it is kind of tinged with darkness and with a kind of a preternatural energy, they used to call it when we were studying it in English.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like there's some elemental quality of the love between Heathcliff and Catherine that you feel it's beyond just the human psychology.
Yes.
And I suppose what tires me is a world where we're always trapped in psychological boxes. And we read novels that are psychological novels.
Yeah.
And we talk on... In media about psychological conditions, and really, I feel there's a deeper level of consciousness that transcends psychological, and is kind of elemental and spiritual.
Yes.
And maybe that's why I really, even as a teenager, I used to love Heathcliff and Catherine. I used to love it.
Oh yes.
And Heathcliff again, looking in the windows.
The bars in those windows.
Yeah.
But it's
the shutters.
It's
rattling.
Exactly, the shutters. it's keeping it's allowing, by the same token, these things influence you as well sometimes. Like there was a piece in the book where I had to put a sticker into the book because I couldn't, as I say, I have no pages numbers. In the book, we're talking about a cloud where the birds rise, and Michael Harding with me. Some people come into our lives like guardians from other worlds, and this is interesting. This is you. It's as if they were sent to watch over us to give us some indefinable sustenance on our journey. So for good or ill, but in this case good, people, a belief that people are sent our way, if you will.
All I can say is that that's the only way I can interpret my life.
Yeah.
You know, I can only interpret it as that there were certain people appeared at certain moments that changed my life. And some of them were people who changed my life forever, and I went on with them forever. Like, we'll say, my beloved wife.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
But other people that I met only for maybe 48 hours. Maybe I remember a person I met, and I won't talk about them in detail, but one single person that I met in Paris for 2 days in 1981, and that person said things to me that changed my life.
Wow.
And sometimes you remember back to something somebody said to you 20 years ago. And you know that that person changed your life. So I really do believe that there's levels of understanding or kind of experiencing reality that transcend the narrow little psychological analysis.
But you see, the thing about you is you engage with people, you like to chat with people. You'll talk about going down and having a cup of tea in the local shop and chatting to the girl from
home. I do, yeah.
Or whatever. So because of that, you do let people in.
But
a lot of people turn away, though. Do you know?
But I let them in not because it's a talent, but because it's a loneliness. I mean, I listen to people and I get overexcited being delighted in other people's company because loneliness is a terrible affliction.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and I just know that, you know, heaven is other people. Like, you'll not get any better. I mean, you can go through any religious text like the Buddhist or the Christian, go through the Gospels and you'll find that there's nothing else Jesus is saying except the kingdom of heaven is now and it's here and it's with other people. The sense of all that forgiveness and release that you get with another human being, it's just like, this is it,
yes,
Marty.
Yes, it is.
It's beautiful.
I know.
So that's why I kind of want to go down the road and have a coffee with somebody.
Well, exactly, and let them in. But and in terms of the future, and in terms of your head and your heart, what are your beliefs these days in terms of what happens to us at the end?
I don't... It's a kind of a question that everybody always asks, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And people ask. We all ask each other
this. As if this life was going to continue.
Yeah, I know.
But sure, we know this life doesn't continue.
Hmm.
What we don't know is what the transformation is.
Yes.
Right? We don't know. I mean, there's a lovely story. I think I don't know who tells this, but you know the caterpillar becomes the butterfly, right?
Yes.
Now, there's nothing remains from the caterpillar in the world of the butterfly.
True.
So how did one become the other?
Yeah.
Like that's a beautiful metaphor for me of the idea of the transformation that comes in death.
Yes.
And I don't know, no more than anybody else. I certainly don't think it's plausible to be thinking this life goes on somewhere else.
Yes, yeah, I know.
Clearly this life is over.
Yes.
But that is not to say that there isn't a deeper level of experience that we're already having that maybe transforms into a butterfly consciousness of life in the process of death.
Yes.
And I do think I would believe that deeply, yeah. I really would. I feel the ancestors, my parents, my family are in that sense in heaven.
Yes.
And I think that it's quite absolutely legitimate to use the poetic language of heaven to speak about that. You know, state, wherever that kind of ontological state of being
is.
Well,
that's right. And you've written before and now about saying that there's no heaven, but it does you good to long for it. And I think we all long for that.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's no harm in that. Yes. It's lovely to hear your voice. I wish you were in front of me, but you're in Donegal enjoying yourself over there. So and listen, will into the new year, please God, when things change, will you go back on stage again? I mean, I know you're writing.
I I will, please God, most certainly. I'll be back with this book and the next book next year, hopefully, and absolutely.
Because your stories of travelling the country and meeting people and sharing your thoughts on stage are wonderful, and I think it seems to me it's very important to you.
It's hugely important, yeah. And at the moment, as I say, like even from the Irish Times, I'm a fish swimming in the river. Yeah. The water for me is the other people, and so because of ill health, I've been out of the Irish Times for 6 months or more, but. Yeah. Hopefully all that will improve and change in the next couple of months, you know.
Please God.
For the moment, I'm like a little old scribe here in Donegal, sitting on my own in a room with my old book writing away.
And I take it the beloved is waiting for you.
She waits and longs in Leitrim.
She does. Oh, she does.
But sure, I'm home at the weekend.
Oh, well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. Listen, you're an absolute joy, and this is a beautiful, beautiful book, and it's going right beside all the rest of them. I'm telling you now, I'll have to make room between Staring at Lakes and Talking with Strangers, but we'll make room for it. Michael Harding, you know I'm mad about you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
And thank you so much, Mark.
Oh, you're an absolute joy. God bless you. Take care.
Okay,
and keep
bye-bye.
Well. God bless. The book is A Cloud Where the Birds Rise, a book about love and belonging. Michael Harding is responsible for all the words in it and the illustrations, beautiful illustrations by Jacob Stack. That's wonderful. What will we play? I know what we'll play.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was one. As we sail into the mystic